Heads bowed, eyes closed. Wow, the Lord has certainly met with us. With our heads bowed and eyes still closed, why don't you ask God for something for you today? Something that you need in your life, not next week, not last year, but today. The amazing thing about preaching the gospel is you could have a room filled with 100 people, 1,000, or 10,000, and God will meet every need. If you bring an empty cup and an open heart and an open mind and a pliable spirit. Just take a minute. Continue to focus on those great lyrics. Dr. Chris and I did not talk about what I was going to preach, but my goodness, I could not have chosen more appropriate songs and hymns to prepare our hearts for worship and for the preaching of God's word. Heavenly Father, your Son's name is above all other names. There's nobody even close. You are great, and you are worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be praised. Would you accept our worship today? And Lord, I pray that you will use every word of this message, that it not be my message, but it be yours, that it would not be my ability or talent, but it would be your power and your strength, as Dana prayed for me in Sunday school. And Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. Help me to be a blessing to these, thy dear people. And if there's anyone here today who's never invited Christ into their life, I pray this morning, this day would be the day of days. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Boy, that was really, really special. Thank you, Dr. Chris, and your great orchestra there. Wonderful. Ephesians, the second chapter. Now, occasionally I get the rare privilege of preaching in a black church or an African-American church, and they always say this to me, "Brother Bruce, why do you white folks come to church to get out? We come to church to get in and stay in." And many a time their services go to 1 or 2 o'clock. And I don't have an answer for them. Apparently it's cultural. But you folks are right. But we do. We come to church to get out, to beat the Methodists over to section hand. And so every time I see somebody look at their watch or their phone for time, I'm going to add 5 minutes to the sermon. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2. As we're turning here, I just want to say a quick word. This is an amazing church, honest to goodness. As Joey says, there is so much talent in this church. And I have to be honest with you, I have pastored 3 churches, Columbus, Ohio, Houston, Texas, and Fort Worth. And I've been on the pulpit committee of several churches as both a layman and a staff member. And what is going on here is very rare and highly unusual, Jeff. Usually when a pastor leaves, especially as somebody as popular as Pastor Kyle, you almost immediately lose 25% of your congregation. And then in about 6 months, you lose half of it. And then there's just a remnant of people if there's a new pastor. You people have stuck by the stuff. You have stayed here. Your testimony is amazing. Dr. Chris, thank you for your leadership. All of you fellas and ladies, God bless you. And you have made us feel welcome over these last year and a half. It's hard to believe it's almost 2 years. And I just want to be a blessing to you and spread some peace today. If we need anything today, it's peace. Amen? Follow me in verse 8. We're not going to use, the Holy Spirit said, don't use the screens today. I don't know why. I'm all for them. I love them. They help you. Holy Spirit said, no screens today. So I got to obey the Holy Spirit. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens. We're not allowed to use that word anymore, but the Bible still uses it. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. I was born in Pennsylvania, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and it's not the state of PA, it's the commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And he says here, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. And those of you who like to mark your Bible, as one old lady told me one time in Pennsylvania, she said, you'll know a Christian by the marks of their Bible, having no hope and without God in the world. They say that a POW that's taken prisoner of war can make it as long as he or she doesn't lose what? Hope. They say an inmate can make it when they're incarcerated if they don't lose hope. Today we are living in a society and culture where people have very little hope. The teenage suicide rate is rising. Soldiers coming over back home from Afghanistan and Iraq, no hope. People are just schizophrenic, and they're saying, we have no hope. And you know what? Without God in the world and Jesus Christ, there is no hope, Brother Mark. He's our hope. He's our rock. He's our fortress. There's no hope in the news media. There's no hope in Washington, D.C., or the political parties. The hope is in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. You who do not believe in God have no hope. By the way, I'm preaching this morning on the subject, why I know there is a God, and I want to thank one of my students is here today, and her and her mom, Harper, thank you for being here today. God bless you. She's a fantastic young lady. I have her as a student at Zephyr. And I also want to thank our officer is here today. Where is he? Our police officer, the guard, there he is. Thank you for what you do at the middle school, not only protecting those young people and our youngins, but also ministering to them. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You say, what is a fool, Brother Bruce? A fool is somebody that lacks wisdom. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And then it goes on to say, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. That's very bad things. There is none that doeth good. Of course, the companion verse is Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, no, not one. I'm going to do something that I hardly ever do in over 40 years of preaching. I'm going to give you my outline, then I'm going to go back. That way, if I run out of time, you at least got most of the outline. How do I know there is a God and Jesus is that God? Number one, millions of churches have been built in his name. I didn't say dozens or hundreds. I didn't even say thousands, Jimmy, I didn't even say tens of thousands, but millions and millions of churches have been built in the name and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, millions of followers have joined hundreds of major denominations and fellowships to proclaim, promote, publish, and spread his gospel literally around the world. Now, I'm not a denominational guy. The word denomination does not appear in the Bible. One thing I like about Midtown, we're independent. We're non-denominational and interdenominational. But that's not the point, and I'm going to come back to that. So I said, number one, millions of churches have been built in his honor. Number two, millions of followers have joined hundreds of movements and fellowships. Number three, I asked my former missions pastor about 4 months ago. He's had a stroke, and he drives his wife crazy, and I thought I'd give him a project. He loves to work on the computer until the wee hours of the morning. I said, hey, Jimmy, his name's Dr. James. I said, Jimmy, I got a project for you. Yeah, what is it, Brother Bruce? I said, find out how many hymns and songs have been written about Jesus. I'll do it. He called me up 2 days later. He says, why did I accept this project? I've already found 75,000 hymns and gospels. He said, what do you want? What's the criteria? I said, I want hymns. I said, I want classical music that lifts Christ up, like from Beethoven and Bach. I know a lot of Bach. Carry me back to old Virginia, amen? I said, I want the Negro spiritual. He said, I want Negro spirituals. I want Southern gospel quartet music. I want every song that you could. He called me up a few days later. He said, I'm over 100,000. A few days later, over 300,000. He said, you're driving me crazy. A month later, he said, over 750,000 hymns and gospel songs. And he says, I haven't touched the tip of the iceberg. I haven't repeated one of them. And we have some songwriters like Ira Sankey and Fanny Crosby, who was blind, who wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of poems and songs, he told me. Bill Gaither, he called me up the other day and he said, I'm up over a million hymns and songs written about Jesus. Not one person in history has ever had a tenth of those songs written about them. Number four, millions of books have been penned for him or written about him. Number five, nature itself and real science, that's relatively accurate, absolutely proves the Bible and the existence of God. Number six, millions of miracles have proven the existence of God. Number seven, millions of converts have testified that their lives have been changed and transformed by the Holy Spirit power of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know there is a God, Brother Bruce? Because I've seen lives change before my very eyes, 40 years in the ministry. Millions of converts testify to the saving power and transforming power of Jesus Christ. And number eight, because of the Bible and the fulfilled prophecy in the Bible. That's how I know there is a God. Let's go back to number one. Millions of churches have been built in his name and honor. Dr. Tim LaHaye, who's written the books about prophecy, former pastor of a mega church in San Diego, said the number one thing that convinced him that there is a God in heaven is that millions and millions of churches have been built in the honor of our Lord. You could take all the temples and shrines of all the other goddesses and gods with a small g, and they wouldn't come up even close to the hem of the garment of all the churches that have been built by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that segues into number two. Millions of followers have joined hundreds of major denominations and fellowships to proclaim, promote, publish, and spread his gospel. Literally, Ralph, around the world. Sometimes when I'm out soul winning or witnessing, I invariably have a person come up to me and say, I'll say, do you believe in God? No, I don't. Why? Well, there's too many denominations. What? Yeah, all these denominations and churches. If there was really a God, why do they all disagree? Actually, he made my point. Are you going to tell me that every Episcopalian who ever lived was wrong? Every Presbyterian who ever walked the face of the earth was wrong? Every Methodist, every Baptist, every Church of Christ, every Christian Missionary Alliance, every Dutch Reformed, every American Reformed, every Mennonite, every Nazarene, every Assembly of God person was wrong? And so I take that argument and I turn it back on them, Brother Mark. I say, the fact that there are so many denominations prove there is a God. They just have different nuances, different flavors. They reach different groups of people. They have different origins. In fact, up until about 1940, 45, early 50s, the denominations didn't disagree. I'll prove it to you. My uncle, Adoniram Judson Furman, was a pastor outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He was a legendary pastor in that area. He died on a Friday, and Brother Andrew, his wife, my aunt, my great aunt, passed away a day and a half later of a cardiac arrest. The doctor said she must have died of a broken heart. No signs of suicide. They were happily married for almost 50 years. He had been a chaplain in the Civil War, fighting pornography in the mails. In the Civil War, I have relatives on both sides. My family can't get along with anybody. And I have a copy of his obituary somewhere in my files. And here's what it said. The famous Reverend A.J. Furman, Adoniram Judson Furman, passed away. His wife died a few hours later. And there will be a joint service. Both of the caskets were at the First Baptist Church of Homer City, Pennsylvania, up front, suburb of Pittsburgh, just about 40 miles outside of the burg. And here's who the speakers will be. The pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Homer City, the pastor of the First Lutheran Church of Homer City, the pastor of the First Methodist Church of Homer City will all pay homage to this great preacher and his wife. They used to cooperate in Bible conferences. It wasn't until the 40s or early 50s when the communists started infiltrating our seminaries that everything went awry. And with the exception of infant baptism and maybe eternal security, these guys got along. The Nazarenes preached with the Assembly of God, and the Methodists preached with the Baptists, and there would be community services and citywide crusades and citywide revivals, and the whole town would get saved. So that's a dumb argument to begin with because it's not accurate. It's just recently. Now you can't find five Baptist churches that agree on anything. My mother-in-law goes to the Methodist church. I recently spoke to the pastor. He's leaving to go back to Corsicana. And I said, "Pastor, I want to commend you. You took a strong stand here at First United Methodist for the gospel and for right. And I'm sure you've paid a price." We talked for about a half hour. Great man. My wife's mother, you say, "Do you love your mother-in-law?" All these mothers-in-law jokes. I'll make a statement. I love my wife's mother-in-law. No, actually, I love my wife's mother. She's special, Gail. And Gail just loves that church over there. I've visited her Sunday school class several times. I thought I was in a Holy Roller meeting, a Baptist meeting. It's a good church. So, but today, usually, all the denominations are splitting. It's a recent phenomenon. But anyway, I take that argument and I use it. Hey, the fact that there are millions, I've met some born-again Catholic people that would put my testimony to shame. So you're going to tell me that every Catholic, every Greek Orthodox, every Russian Orthodox, every American Lutheran, Missouri Synod Lutheran, Wisconsin Missouri Lutheran, and American Baptist, Southern Baptist, they're all wrong? No, they're not. They worship a God that exists. Bruce, how do you know there is a God and Jesus is Lord? Millions of churches have been built in his honor. Number two, millions of followers have joined hundreds of movements and fellowships. Number three, over a million songs, hymns and poems have been written to praise him as you sang about today and led that great music. The Bible says in Psalms, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I like what you said, Dr. Chris, we're not going to wait for the rocks and stones to cry out. It's time Christians start praising the Lord again. You say, "Well, Brother Bruce, did you catch the news this morning?" Yeah, I did, but I'm still praising the Lord because we're on the winning side. And I don't care what happens in the Middle East, God is still on his throne. I don't care what your boss says about you at work and spreads lies, or the teacher that you don't like because you're not their pet, or the professor that you won't placate because you take a stand for the gospel. Hey, God is still on his throne. And I checked the end book and the end chapter of Revelation, and we win. Somebody say amen. Old B.R. Lakin used to say, amen, amen. Ephesians says, "And be not drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "and sing to yourselves in hymns." That's the first time that word is mentioned in the Bible, by the way. Hymns and psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Quit being depressed. "Oh, but Brother Engelman, you just don't know how rough I have it." Everybody in this room is having a tough time, one way or another. And if you're not, your family is. Your kids, your grandkids. We have six children, and now we just inherited three more grandchildren. My youngest son got married. He's a preacher in California. And we have 14 grandchildren. So you're always worried about them, right? Even if your life is going great, Brother Jared, you still got all the youngins to worry about. Millions of books have been penned for him. Number four, written about him. I watched Shelby Foote. I got an opportunity to talk to him one time. He's the great Civil War historian. His Civil War book, 15th on the all-time bestseller nonfiction. He was on the old Tonight Show, and Johnny Carson asked him about Abraham Lincoln, and here's what he said. He said, "The Civil War turned out two geniuses, in my opinion," Dr. Shelby Foote said to Johnny Carson. "Nathan Bedford Forrest, the general on the south, and Abraham Lincoln on the north. And he said, Johnny, look how big the studio is. I've been there twice, the NBC studios, huge, where the Tonight Show was taped earlier that day. He said, if we took all the books about Abraham Lincoln, they would fill up, and there wouldn't be any space left about Abraham Lincoln. They say Napoleon had more books written about him than Lincoln. But he said, if we took the books written about Jesus Christ, this is a secular author, it would fill not only this room, Johnny, it would fill the L.A. County libraries, the libraries in Anaheim, San Francisco, Oakland, all the way down to San Diego. Millions and millions and millions and millions of books have been written about God, about Jesus Christ. I don't believe the Bible. All right, go read some of the other books. Go over to Southwestern Seminary's library. They have floors and floors and floors about Jesus books about the Lord. Go to Carson Newman College or Howard Payne here. Go over to East Texas Baptist College. Go to Baylor. I studied one time at Pittsburgh Seminary, Presbyterian Seminary in PA. Floor after floor after floor after floor, books about theology, about Jesus. Man, hey, he's real, and we need to decide today once and for all, either he's real or he's not. Christians are playing church all over America. Those days are over, my friend. I like what Craig said in our Sunday school class today. He said, a lot of Christians get saved and their life is dramatically changed, radically changed, but then they sit in the lawn chair and they don't go anywhere for the Lord. I like that analogy, and it's so true, unfortunately. We need to get out of our chaise lounges and our lounge chairs today and just start doing something for Christ. Time is running out. God needs us. His people need us. The lost and dying world without the gospel needs us. And so one reason I know there's a God, there's no other character in history that has hundreds of millions of books written about them. Number five, I'm almost done. Nature itself and real science proves the existence of God. Hey, our flat earth brethren, they had a real problem on Monday with the eclipse, didn't they? One of the best $125 I ever spent, brother, I went to the Flat Earth International Convention in Dallas. I snuck in and sat in the back. And they had some pretty interesting points. Weirdest group of people I ever met. I mean, there were thousands and thousands from literally all around the world. And I asked the man that had invited me, he was a member of my church, I said, what do you do with the verse in the Bible that says the earth is a circle? Well, we do believe that, but we believe it's a pizza box. I said, what? We believe that the circle is flat, and it's like a pizza box with curved edges. I said, brother, what keeps the ships and boats from going off the edge? Icebergs. And this guy had like 3 degrees from 3 different seminaries, Brother Clay. Yes, not junk science, but real science, and nature itself proves the existence of God. Let me give you one example. I got several, but because of time, I'm just going to give you one. Every fall, the air turns crisp real quick up north, like overnight. It'll go from 75, what they call an Indian summer, to 33 the next day. And those ducks and geese get together in Canada and Ohio and Michigan, and they follow the gander, the lead goose, or the lead duck, as the case may be. And they go down through Ohio, and they go down through Kentucky and West Virginia, and they go down through Georgia and Tennessee. Some of the flight patterns take them all the way through North and South Carolina to Florida. Other geese and ducks will go all the way to Texas here, to the Gulf of Mexico, as Horton used to sing. Now, let me ask you a question. Who put that homing device in those little bird brains of those geese and ducks? God. Oh, but you say, Brother Engelman, that's instinct. That's natural instinct that animals have. There really isn't anything as natural instinct if you want to get technical about it. No, it is not instinct. It is imparted wisdom. And then they know when to come back. And by the way, they always stop at the same feeding places all the way from Florida back to Michigan or Ohio, and all the way from Texas or Alabama and Mississippi on the Gulf back to Ohio and Michigan and Canada. Only a God that's a brilliant God could do that. How do you know there is a God? Because science and nature proves it. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." That eclipse, my wife and I were just amazed. We felt the presence of God and a peace that came over us. Let me tell you something. Those three guys that allegedly went to the moon, came back, said there was a God. There is a God. And all nature cries out for us to trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm almost done. Millions of miracles, number six, have been performed in his name. God gave me this song just yesterday, Dr. Chris. One of my favorite old-time singers. He's an old itinerant singer. He's been in heaven many years, Billy Kelly. He was an evangelist from the South. He said in a song called "I Want to Stroll Heaven with You When We Get to Heaven," the first verse, "If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, if I would count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for the favor upon my limbs and have him bless me as the mortal king for eternity. And I'm sure that he would grant it again." But that first line, "If I surveyed all the good things that came to me from above, if I were to count or would count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd ask him for one last blessing. Give me your favor." God wants to favor you. He wants to favor you at work, in your neighborhood, in the schoolroom, the classroom, the college classroom, on the ranch or the farm, on the fire department, the police department. He wants to favor you because you're his chosen child. How do you know there is a God, Brother Bruce? Answers to prayer. Miracles. I could stand here for 4 hours and not even catch my breath and tell you miracle after miracle and prayer after prayer that God has answered. And one of the great things about being in the full-time gospel ministry, I get to see miracles and answers to prayer every day. Now, they may be what you would call a little miracle, but like the old telephone directories. Remember the old yellow pages? The plumbers, electricians would say, "No job too big, no job too small." There's nothing too small for Jesus. There were only 8 people on the ark, only 11 disciples after Judas's betrayal. I'll just give you one of a million miracles in my life. I mean that God has answered. And I'm talking about miracles. I had a cyst on the back of my neck. I was scheduled for surgery. I was in seminary in Chicago. I went on a Sunday night after our Sunday night service, and I asked my pastor to anoint me with oil in his study. He did. I was scheduled for surgery with a Jewish doctor by the name of Dr. Ignatz in South Chicago the next morning. I woke up to get ready to go to the surgery, to be there an hour early, and I reached back there and that cyst was gone. Talk about miracles. Buddha doesn't do that. Confucius couldn't do that. Muhammad never has done that. But bless God, our Jesus is in the miracle working business. How do you know there is a God? Because of all the answers to prayer and blessings in my life. If I were to take a survey, it would probably take me 2 months to try to jot down as I reminisced about all the goodnesses of God to my family and me. The converts, 2 points. I got 3 minutes. Unless we're in an African-American church, then I could go to 12:30, right? Millions of converts testify to the existence of God and to the life-changing power of God. Here again, drug addicts, I've won the Christ gang leaders. Jimmy Delschmidt was president of the Hells Angels. He was doing $60 a day in cocaine with his drug addiction in the 60s, 1960s. That'd be like $600 a day today. But he had a praying mother for him. "Jimmy, won't you come to church?" No, he had a long goatee. I mean, he was your prototypical gangster and motorcyclist, biker. "No, Mom, I'm not going to your corny church. No, Mom." She just kept after him, Jimmy. Finally, after 3 or 4 years of that, "All right, Mama, I'll go to church if you make me a promise, and you got to keep it." Yes, Jimmy, anything. You'll come to church? I'll come to church. I'm not going to come to Sunday school. I'll come to church. What's the promise, Jimmy? If you never ask me again, you can't bug me anymore. I'll come once. And then you got to be off. I promise in stone, Jimmy, I promise. I promise you in the Lord, I will never ask you again. He said, I got there late. I was high as a kite. I sat in the back row. He said, I had cigarettes rolled up in my tattoos all over. People, the door was open, no air conditioning up north. It was in the springtime. They heard my Harley Davidson rumble up to the church parking lot. When I walked in, everybody turned around. The whole church had been praying for me. The whole church turned around and saw Jimmy Della Schmidt, German guy, sit in the last seat of the pew there in the corner. He said, one old lady couldn't believe it. She turned around and started staring at me through the whole service. Finally, I went. She turned around. He said, I don't know why. He said, that old, skinny little old preacher, seemed like his arm came all the way back to my seat and my face. And said, if you don't get saved and born again today in Christ Jesus, you're going to split hell wide open. I don't care what motorcycle gang you're the president of. Hell's Angels, most feared. He founded the St. Louis chapter of the Hell's Angels. Finally, the music started playing. I don't know why, but he said, I came forward. Response to my mama's prayers and the prayers of those precious people in that little country Baptist church. And he said, I knelt at the altar and the pastor led me to Christ. He said, my life has never been the same since. One of the greatest preachers. We used to preach together. I'd have him in for crusades at high schools, public high schools. We'd have lunch together at least once a year when our paths crossed. Unfortunately, he had a bad heart from all the drugs and he went to heaven way too early in his late 50s. Jimmy Della Schmidt. One of 100 testimonies I could give you about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Engelman, how do you know there is a God? Because I've seen numerous lives change completely overnight. Now, some of us don't grow as fast as Jimmy, but God still loves us and he will do a work. Great Sunday school lesson today, Brother Craig. We got too many Brother Craigs around here. Have you noticed that? I agree with that, yes. 2 Timothy 4, 13 through 15 says, Bring with thee the books and the parchments. Number 8, and finally, because of the Bible and the fulfilled prophecy. You know, when the Messiah was predicted to come to Bethlehem, it didn't say just a Bethlehem. And it didn't just say Judea. It said Bethlehem of Judea. And that's where Jesus came. Every religion has their so-called Bibles, but this is the only book, the only Bible that has prophecy in it. Why? Because the author of those books knew that if they, the moment they put prophecy in it, Clay, and it didn't come true, they would be discredited. But I'm happy to tell you that every prophecy about the Lord Jesus coming to Bethlehem has been fulfilled. And I believe today you have been chosen for such a time as this, as it says in the book of Esther, for these perilous times. God knew that you could handle it. God knew that we were tough Texans filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a rare church. This is a very unusual church. The power of God is here. It's no time to retreat or resign. It's no time to throw in the towel, as they say in wrestling. It's a time to reenlist in God's army. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Finished right on time. Every head bowed, pretty close. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you at in your walk with Jesus? First of all, let me inquire, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you trusted Christ? Just like Jimmy, it may not be as dramatic, but has there been a single moment in time in your life where you've turned to Christ, you've repented of your unbelief, and you turned to the Lord Jesus, and you said, Jesus, I can't get there on my own. I'm not going to make heaven. I know I'm going to split hell wide open. Jesus, would you come into my heart and into my life and be my Savior? If you could say a testimony, something similar to that, would you please raise your hand, leave it up, raise it high and say, Pastor Bruce, I know because I know there is a God, and I know because the Bible says so and because I witnessed it, I am saved and redeemed. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass anybody today. We're not going to call you out. But if you couldn't raise your hand right there, and you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven and that you've been redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus, we'd love to pray for you. Again, we're not going to ridicule you, make fun of you. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. You're among friends here. You'll never be in a circle of people that love you more than the people at Midtown this morning. And with an uplifted hand, would you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ. I've never received Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Or I have had serious doubts and I have zero assurance." Would you just slip your hand up, please? Could you do that for us so we could pray for you? Just slip it up and slip it down. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pastor Bruce, pray for me. I've been having a lot of doubts about my eternal destiny and whether I'm truly a Bible-believing Christian. Just slip it up. Nobody's looking. Nobody peeking. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor Bruce, pray for me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved, or I know that I'm not. God bless you. If you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to come forward in just a minute. You say, "That takes a lot of courage and a lot of guts." Yes, it does. But Jesus went to the cross for us. He went up Calvary's Hill for us. And there'll be somebody here. This room is filled with preachers and missionaries, assistant pastors, staff members, Sunday school teachers, who can take a copy of God's Word and show you today how you can know for sure you're going to heaven whenever you die and receive Christ into your life and into your heart. Question number two. It's time for game playing to stop. It's time for Christians to get serious about being a disciple, a sold-out Christian. Not just a Sunday morning pew-sitting Christian with the proverbial 16 inches of chair, but a sold-out Christian in love with God, willing, if may be, give your life for Him. If something in the message today touched your heart or challenged you, in love, would you raise your hand? Say, "Preacher, something you said today out of God's Word has motivated me to take an examination, an introspection of my walk with Jesus." Yes, all over the house. Yes, yes. You may put your hands down. Yes, don't be ashamed. Yes, I see that hand. You may put it down. "Pastor Bruce, something you said in the sermon or something out of the God's Word today has challenged me to maybe take another step. Get out of that lawn chair or chaise lounge in the yard and get closer to the cross and maybe even help Jesus pick His cross up." Just slip your hand and slip it down. Yes, I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand in the back. God's working today. The moment the band and Brother Craig, the praise band, Brother Chris, rather, hit that first note, the Holy Spirit just ushered in here, man. Just ushered in here. One last call. Anybody else? "Preacher, I'm going to make some changes in my life. There are some things I need to give up, and there are some things I need to start doing. Here's my hand." Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you may put those hands down. I saw a couple ladies on the left, a couple ladies in the back. Anybody else? "Preacher, a couple things I need to give up in my life to consecrate my heart and life more to Christ, be a little more sanctified, and there's some things I need to start doing. Maybe pass out a gospel tract. Maybe get involved in Craig and Ralph's prison ministry. Maybe start a Bible study in my neighborhood. But yes, there's something more I could do. How about just voting? Christians, no Christians vote anymore. Trust me, I got the data. No Christians vote anymore. And we wonder why the country's the shape it's in." Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, bless the altar call. Bless the invitation. Oh God, do something in our midst today. Please, please, please. Give us another Jimmy Delischmidt. Please. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the two Craigs to come and stand here. Their wives are also available. Those of you who raise your hands, not knowing if you're saved or not sure that you're saved, Brother Craig, if you could take this. And is he on security? Brother Ralph, if you'll come here and grab a Bible. And these men will be here to greet you if you need to receive Christ, or maybe join the church, or maybe sign a commitment for baptism. The altar's open. And one other thing, remember to be faithful in your giving. When a church is going through a transition, a church needs every penny you can volunteer to give. Be faithful in your tithes and offerings. God bless you.